I was really struggling deciding how I wanted to begin this message. I didn't know if I wanted to have some like chairs up here. Like last time I was up here, I had a stool over there and I had a stool over here, and I kind of went between the two. I didn't know if I wanted to, you know, I thought about putting the couch up here and like sitting down in this couch and just kind of having this like sort of like family meeting, you know. I didn't know if I wanted to start off, you know, trying really, really hard to be funny, you know, because usually that doesn't work very well. And I thought about, I was like, oh, well, you know, like, I know this joke about how, you know, Adam was in the garden and God created him and, you know, he was naked and unashamed and God put him to sleep. And then when he woke up, there was Eve, right? And he's butt naked and Eve is butt naked. And he looks Eve up and down and goes, whoa, man. And then that's how they got their name, right? Woman, okay? You know, that's why I said I didn't want to start that way because it wasn't very funny. But I decided today to be before you guys and be open and be vulnerable and just preach God's word about sex. Because tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. And there's a couple reasons why we're going to talk about it tonight. The first reason is you guys are surrounded by sex, okay? You are, whether it is commercials, whether it is, you know, TV, mainline shows. I know that it was this year or last year, Marvel, like Disney's Marvel, put in their first sex scene in one of their superhero movies. And like, I was like, this is a show for kids, isn't it? But, you know, Disney said, you know what? It is okay because it's so normal. It's all around you. And so that's the first reason. You guys are surrounded by it. The second reason is because you guys are probably thinking about it. Whether it's like curiosity, whether you don't know, or whether it's, you know, like your body is changing. You're like, holy cow, whoa. You know, like, I want this. Maybe it's that, maybe it's not. But another reason is you guys are probably talking about it. It's probably something that comes up, whether, you know, not like explicitly, of course, but it might be just like, you know, jokes that you guys hear or jokes that you say. It's just kind of all over the place. But the most important reason why we're going to talk about it is because God's word has a lot to say about it. And God's word, God has created sex with a meaningful purpose. In fact, that's the one thing I want you guys to understand is God created sex with meaningful purpose. And if it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to us. And so the first meaningful purpose that God created sex for is procreation. Okay, that's a fancy word for baby making. All right, that's what it is. In Genesis 1:28, it says this. It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and of the heavens and of every living thing that moves on the earth. Adam and Eve, the first command God gives them, it says, hey, start that baby-making process. If you didn't know that sex is how babies, you know, come about, I hope you do now, okay? How do you think that you got here, okay? My birthday is on November 14th. My father's birthday is February 14th, and if you don't know, that's Valentine's Day. And 9 months later, I'm born, okay? That's just how it happens. So now, like, this is real. This is how babies are made. Your parents, yep, okay? All right, you have to think about it at some point, but it's okay. It's okay because it's in God's word. So this is the first reason God created sex with meaningful purpose is for procreation. The second one, the second reason God created sex with meaningful purpose is consummation. And consummation is a fancy word which just means it makes something official. Okay, sex makes marriage official. It does. And in Genesis 2, verse 24, it says this. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And that word, it says united up there, is united with his wife, is actually like a stronger word in Hebrew. It means like cleaves to it, clings to it, unites the two. And consummation, sex, like makes marriage official. In fact, even our secular world understands this. Some people will, you know, go to Vegas, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And if they wake up one morning and like they got, you know, they drank too much and they wake up and they realize that they're married, they can go to the courthouse and say, actually, we didn't have sex. We didn't consummate the marriage. Therefore, they can get the marriage annulled. It's so, they don't have to go through the divorce process because it is such an important thing. God views sex as important. It's kind of like the period at the end of the marriage statement. It is an exclamation mark. It is something that is awesome, and it unites the two people, a man and a woman, in marriage. So it is for procreation, it is for consummation, and it is for intimacy. Sex is a very intimate act. You are standing before someone else, and you are showing them parts of your body that you don't show anyone else. It is a very intimate act. And actually, beyond that, sex is obviously physical. It's spiritual because we saw that it the two become one flesh, but it's also chemical. Whenever two people have sex, there's a chemical that goes off in the brain called oxytocin. And oxytocin only happens during three things. It only happens during sex, and it only happens during childbearing and breastfeeding. Because oxytocin, what it does, it's a binding agent. It binds you to your partner, to your spouse. Or in the case of making a baby or having a baby, it like as soon as a child is born, it's really important that the child lay on the mother's breasts or on their chest to have the skin-to-skin contact. Because in that moment, the baby and the mother, the oxytocin is firing. As, could you imagine why it'd be important for a mother and a child to bond like that? In the same way, a married couple have this oxytocin firing in the brain, and it unites them in a chemical way, which is why there's no such thing as just casual sex. There's no such thing as one-night flings that don't mean anything. And man, culture, man, every mainline TV show has this message that like sex is no big deal. Like the main characters will always like be sleeping around or sleep with someone, and then it's just like, you know, they break up and then they have to, you know, have a rebound person, and it's like, okay, finally I'm kind of over it and it's no big deal. But that is a very different way than the real life. It is a TV show for a reason, because it's not real. And sex is so much stronger than that, and it really binds you to someone in a literal, chemical, physical way in the brain. So it's for procreation, it's for consummation, it's for intimacy. And lastly, okay, you guys ready? It is for pleasure. Sex is pleasurable. God created this to be a good thing. When Adam and Eve were created, he said he created them, and he created them with sexual organs, and he said, "This is very good." He said that. And I hope maybe you've had this message or you've heard this message from the church that sex is bad because the world uses it so flippantly. It shouldn't be talked about. It's bad. We shouldn't even think about it. But God designed sex to be a good thing. He designed it with meaningful purpose. So sex, the meaningful purpose that God created it for was for procreation, making babies, consummation, making something official, intimacy, and pleasure. So if God created sex with meaningful purpose, what does that mean for you guys? What does that mean even for me? Well, number one, we need to keep sex where God wants it, and that is in marriage. Genesis 2:24, which we read earlier, says, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they become one flesh." It is only with a husband and a wife that sex should be done. That's the only way that God created it to be used. And this is even, you know, within marriages. People shouldn't be having sex outside of their marriages, even once they're married. It is only between two people, a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. So we need to keep it where God wants it, and that is within marriage. The second thing that if God created sex with meaningful purpose, what does that mean for us? Number two, we need to flee sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:3, which you heard part of this, or actually heard all of this earlier during worship, says, "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." Sexual immorality, and he loops impurity and greed in there too, because it's something that is happening to the body. It's all about me. And a lot of times, whether we're in a relationship or whether we're not, we have this line, this moral line, so to speak, and we know that we're not supposed to take this line and cross it, right? So instead of crossing this line, what we like to do is we like to, you know, try to move this line. And sometimes what happens is, you know, maybe you're dating for a week or maybe a month, and so the line used to be here, but now that you guys know each other a little bit better, now the line is here, and now we won't cross this line. But then maybe you're dating even longer, maybe like, let's say a year. That's a long time in high school, okay? But this could be applied to college-age students or even adults too. So you've been, you know each other for like a year, and you're like, well, the line used to be back here, then it was here, but now we're older now, we're seniors, you know, we've got this thing figured out. So now the line is here. And we like to play this game of moving the line so that we don't have the moral obligation of stepping over the line. But this isn't what Paul says. Paul says, God's people, instead of seeing where we can put the line, we need to flee it, we need to run away. So instead of seeing how close we can get, we should be like, no, the line is here, but I'm going to move the line back here. And I'm going to set it there, and we're not going to cross this line. And that's what Paul says, we need to flee sexual immorality. And immorality is just, it's a blank statement that encompasses a lot of sin, a lot of sexual sin that God doesn't want from his holy people. And so here are some things that I want to give advice to you from God's word. So number one, if you're wondering where does this line need to go, if it has the word sex in it, you shouldn't do it, okay? Just because it's not his part going into her part doesn't mean that that's the only, that's all that sex is. Sex is a lot more than that. And so if it has the word sex in it, don't do it. Number two, you don't need to be touching or rubbing parts that should be covered up in public, okay? If you need to move an article of clothing to get to the part that you want to get to, you shouldn't be near there. And this goes for under the clothes, this goes for over the clothes. No, you shouldn't do it. That is sexual immorality. You shouldn't. If someone is asking for pictures, or if you are sending pictures, or if you want to send pictures of any part of your body that should be covered up, that is a no. You shouldn't do it. In fact, if someone is asking that of you, you should probably, and if you're in a relationship with them, that's a red flag. That's a sign, because they're wanting something for themselves, and it's not about giving anymore, and it's about taking. And so that's a red flag that you probably should end that relationship with that person, because they're not going to help you become God's holy people. Lastly, be careful what you talk and tease about with your boyfriend or girlfriend or anyone, even if you're not dating. Be careful where your words go and where your words lead to and where your desires take you. And that just goes beyond just face-to-face. It goes to Snapchat, it goes to Instagram, it goes to texting. You don't need to be in the same room or the same, heck, even in the same country to have sexual immorality, because technology allows us to do this all over the place now. So that's kind of my list for you guys to stay away from. Now, I know what you guys are asking. You're asking, well, where is this line? Where is this line that I should be to place so that I can be a part of God's holy people? Where can I set it so I know I shouldn't cross this line? Here's what I'm going to tell you guys, okay? I think that this is okay. Holding hands, aw. I think you guys can interphalangitate like this. Whoa, all right. I think that's okay. You guys can lock arms. You guys can hug each other, okay? I think that's good. Nice warm hug is very pleasing, very nice. I think that kissing on the cheek or on the forehead or on the nose or on the eyeball, you know, that's what you want to do, is fine. Don't go below the chin, okay? Neck means no, okay? No kissing on the neck, okay? I know, you know, okay? So don't do it, okay? That's dangerous territory, all right? So some of you guys are wondering, what about on the lips? You know, like, you see your boo thing out in the summer on the lacrosse field, and he's got those, you know, nice chapped sunburnt lips. You're like, man, I want to plant myself on one of those, okay? I know what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. So here's my advice to you guys. One, you should ask your parents, hey, you know, I've been dating so-and-so, and I want to know, can I kiss him or her on the lips? And if your parents say, you know what, I think you're mature, I think that's okay, I think you're going to be smart with it, I say yes. Then, the hard part, you should go to their parents, and you should ask them, hey, I'm dating your son or daughter, we've been dating for a while, is it okay if I kiss your son or daughter on the lips? And then, you know exactly where that line is, okay? You know, hey, listen, if they say no, you know exactly, okay, here's the line. I will not step over it, okay? These are my thoughts for you guys tonight. So some of you, though, kind of to switch gears here a little bit. So you know that God has a meaningful purpose for sex. Some of you have stepped outside of those guardrails. Some of you haven't followed what God wants for your life. And to you, I want to say these words. I love you. God loves you. And God created sex with meaningful purpose. It is a good thing, but only when it is within the way God wants it. The next group of you that I want to talk to you, some of you may have been forced outside of these guardrails. It wasn't your choice to be a part of whatever it was that happened to you. And some of you, to you, I want to say this. I love you. God loves you. And God created sex with a meaningful purpose, which means the world wants to take that and distort it, and it wants to make it ugly. And so to you, I want to say, I'm sorry that happened to you, and I love you, and God loves you, and sex is supposed to be a good thing, a beautiful thing within marriage. Some of you, I want to address that right now, whether you're in a relationship or whether you're not, sometimes it can become this idea that you are not whole unless you have a sexual experience, unless you are married, because as followers of God, we believe sex should only be within the marriage, and so you are not whole until you have sex with your spouse. And to that, I want to say, that's not true. That's not true. You are whole and complete right now, and you don't need this extra thing. In fact, if we look at God's Son, God sent Jesus, and Jesus was 100% human, which means he was 100% physical, he was 100% spiritual, he was 100% mental, he was 100% a sexual human being. But Jesus was whole, he was complete, and he never married. And so to you, I want to say, as you progress through high school, as you get into college and become young adults, I don't want you thinking that you have to be married to have a fulfilled life. Because that is not true. Sex is a beautiful thing only within marriage, but you don't need it to become whole. And to the last group, maybe you are wrestling with this idea that Scripture says marriage and sex should be between a man and a woman inside marriage. And to you, I want to say, I love you. God loves you. And God designed sex with meaningful purpose. And if you are wrestling with that, I'd love to talk to you afterwards and help you through that thought process. But tonight, I hope that it has been beneficial for you guys. And so I'm going to pray for you. And I want you guys to know that this is a safe spot. And so we want you to feel welcome and we want you to feel loved. But we want you to become God's holy people. So if you have sin in your lives that you need to get out of your lives, this would be the time to do it. And I want to say one other thing. I talk a lot about how God loves you. And this is weird, okay? But a lot of times we sin, right? We fall short. And sexual sin is very difficult. Scripture says that, you know, every other sin, we sin against, you know, God. But sexual sin is different because we sin against ourselves. And we can't get this sin out of us. We can't. You can't unsin. You can't, you know, it's kind of like a black spot on a white shirt that you can't get off. And God knew this was going to be a problem. And so what he did was he came down as a human, a fully human, 100%. And he said, you know what? I know that these students can't live the perfect life. I know that they have this black spot that they can't remove, this sin that they can't control. They can't unsin. They can't take care of it. And the penalty of sin is death, okay? We all deserve to die for all of our sins. But Jesus died in our place. It says, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were covered in this unremovable sin and gunk, when we were at our worst, that's when God was at his best. And God saved us so that we can become whole. We can wear Christ's robes over us. So if you haven't accepted Christ's gift, what should we do? Scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so you can remove this, and you will become a new creation. So if you haven't made that decision, talk to your small group about it. Talk to me, and we would love to have a conversation with you about what it means to walk in newness of life. Let me pray for you guys. Father in heaven, thank you for being a God who created sex with meaningful purpose. Thank you for being a God who loves us so much that you have given us instructions in your word to handle this complicated situation sometimes. And we love you so much for being a God who understands. And we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to fear, because you did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. So I pray that you would help us feel that power and put that fear away. Thank you for these students. I pray that you'd be working on their hearts. Give their small group leaders wisdom and help us have a good rest of the night. It's your son's awesome and holy and perfect and precious and pure name I pray. Amen.